Well, welcome everyone to the 5 o'clock work study session on our budget. The entire council is here. It's October 15th, 2018, and we'll turn things over to our finance director as we continue our work on the budget for next year.
Hey, good evening, everyone. I have killed a few more trees, so everybody should have a packet except for Kathy. Thank you. So tonight, I did not do very much in the current expense, so we're going to be looking at all the rest, which start on page 19. So we're going to have streets, water, sewer, storm, all the debt. Also, I just wanted to, I passed out a gray and white sheet. That is all our debt that we have. If you have any questions about that, that was not in your packet, but I thought it would be a nice addition to this budget, and that's for next year. So I'm just going to open it up to questions.
It's a great sound. Studious contemplation.
Yeah.
Okay. If there are no questions.
It's almost easier if you just go fund number by fund number and tell us what's changed year over year.
Year over year?
Yeah, I'm just rather trying to look at 1,000 lines and figure out where the changes are.
So a revenue source that would be significantly different than the previous year, than the current year?
Excuse me. Just going fund by fund. Let's see. Start with solid waste. Page 22, because it shows 300,000. Am I reading that right? 300,000 more?
Yes. That is based on what we're receiving to date. So I have October 4th on here, but when I'm working on it, I actually can look up individual ones and kind of see where we're at, and I feel pretty comfortable with that amount. It seems to be going up every year.
Didn't we, a couple of years ago, didn't we vote in kind of a set of automatic increases over the next couple of years? Does that include
It's at 14.5%, and that's, I believe that's where it stays till 2024.
When the library, at least the libraries, pay it off, it drops back down a half, purple. Something to be tired.
Yeah.
By ordinance, it said it was that's kind of a sunset.
Right. So we're in one of those periods, though, where there is no automatic bump up of a half a percent. So that $350,000 is just better business than expected.
We've been getting more than that. I don't. Did it go up this past year? Did it go from 14 to 14.5?
I think it went 13.5 to 14.
14, and then 14.5, I think, is the top, and that's where it stays till.
I knew that there was kind of a leveling off point, but I don't recall. I guess.
The 661, is that what we think we'll have to start 2019, or is that what we'll have at the end?
Which column and which line are you looking at?
1084.
So that would be in column L, 1084. That would be the ending cash at the end of 2019.
Linda Harkelbrod is here from the Heritage Society, and she was here in case anyone wanted to talk about the $15,000 that they requested for the cabins. And apparently we'll have $660,000 in solid waste, so here you go.
Looking at revenues here.
We're also, this is like the first go-round of all the funds that, we're still looking at some of the capital projects, what we need in some of those other funds. But yes, there is a substantial amount in solid waste.
Okay.
If we receive, but now remember, this is a forecast.
Right.
Okay. So looking at, you know, it's more for my own curiosity more than anything else, but looking at line 1115, so the Pioneer Pavilion operations, so forecast to do, is that, so looking at column I, 40,601, that's the forecasted revenues for rental for the pavilion, is that correct?
So the green part is the revenue. So if you go up, 38,000 okay, is the revenue, and then the expenditures are the 40,601.
Okay. Yes, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay.
And on that same Pioneer Pavilion, you'll notice that I don't have anything in the salaries. That's because it's down in the maintenance. So, you know, it says $15,000 in maintenance. It includes the salaries. So the $20,000 in 2019 for maintenance, it just includes the salaries. We don't know what it'll be exactly. So it's just kind of a lump sum.
I guess going back to the solid waste, sure. if we do want to give the Heritage Society the $15,000, can we just do a transfer to parks maintenance?
To current expense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
To do that? Okay.
Yeah.
But we just take it out of solid waste if we want?
I'll put a note on there.
Okay. I'm assuming that everybody want
to? Yes. Solid waste. Would that just be park maintenance? Wouldn't that be the?
We just take it from solid waste to park maintenance?
It just goes to current expense to the full fund because parks maintenance is current expense.
Are we going to do it ourselves, or are we going to give that money to the Heritage Society for them to hire the experts to do that work? Would it matter as far as what fund that goes in? Because we have other places where we show a transfer to other organizations, or I guess we don't.
Pardon?
Yeah, I think what he's thinking is in the current expense budget where we have our food bank donation and some of those other, whether since we're going to be giving the money, I'm assuming, to them for expense rather than us incurring the expense directly, we could transfer from solid waste into the current expense fund, but the expenditure could come out of that grouping that has the food bank and some of the others.
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Flower baskets.
Especially since this may or may not be a one time, but certainly what we're going to be using it for this time, probably, well, it won't be repeated next year because once you replace a roof or whatever it is, the roof's replaced. So it might be nice to have it there as a discrete line item so that way next year if we have a similar conversation, we'll know where the line item came from and where it went to. And just to go back slightly, solid waste, there are no restrictions on those funds. So unlike park mitigation funds that can only be used for capital but not maintenance, solid waste funds can be used for capital, for maintenance, for salaries, debt service. There's absolutely no restriction. Our solid waste fund is technically a B&O tax. That's what the auditors, in fact, that's why our solid waste fund is rolled up into our general fund when you look at our financial statements.
Linda Harper, since you're here and you've caught our attention, do you mind coming up to the mic?
Would you remind us, was the amount you requested for you folks to do it or for what the city would cost?
We requested the amount, specifically the two major projects. We need rechinking on those cabins. So we're figuring probably $8,000 apiece. So that's only two cabins. We've done two in the previous 2 years. Yeah. So you say it'll never happen again? Yeah, we got 12 of them down there.
That's
so
not for you folks, that's the contract.
Yeah, I don't think we have a preference. You give us the money, we're going to spend it. You can audit our trail. You know, we'll give you our receipts, or we'll have the work done and you pay the bill. Doesn't matter. The work gets done.
I think the question I'm actually leading is do we have a pretty firm estimate? Is this the actual cost, or we're going to find it more or less?
What's
the source of that amount?
We finally found some guy out of Skagit County that'll come up, and he won't touch them until springtime because he wants to do them when they're dry. So we haven't got a quote back for him. We paid $6,000 for one guy to do the last one that we did.
Okay.
And he was just a local guy doing it, you know, and he's not available. We choose not to go that route.
I just wonder if we could get an estimate.
I would love, yeah. But we
so
can.
We're not just guessing numbers okay. here. I think council would want to know what, and maybe we can do whack off a cabinet or two a year.
Okay, I guess specifically your $15,000, do I need to spend that exactly on cheeking a cabin, or can I fix a hole in the roof, or can I hook up a gas line into a stove?
Well, it would need to be spent on what the council authorized.
Okay, so I guess I need that guideline then from you, you know.
Yeah. I guess to the extent that you feel, at least for next year, comfortable with what you want to spend it on, then you could let us. I mean, it'll vary. Some years you might, like you say, you might want to do a gas line or three, and other years maybe not so much.
I can guarantee whatever it's spent on, it'll be down in the inside of the Pioneer Park Village. So,
so maybe we can get a written estimate.
Of a couple projects. Yeah. Sure.
Before our next council meeting, when we start looking at expenses.
Okay. Yeah, get those guys.
Thank you for doing that.
No, thank you guys for considering it. So
we appreciate it. Thank you. Revenues in front of you.
Any other questions on the solid waste fund? So we're just doing revenues then. So
no, we're
The full fund is ready. Preliminary, but it's ready to.
Street funds? Do we have any big grants coming up? I'm not seeing anything specific. I'm looking at state grants.
We've got. We will be receiving money for Thornton, which is in its own separate fund, so it's not encapsulated into the state fund. We did go out and apply for two TIB grants, one for doing Main Street from Barrett Road to the city limits, heading east, and then for Portal Way for doing sidewalk projects out there, which would be from basically where the tombstone is up to the creek, up to Whiskey Creek. And those were our two TIB grant applications for this cycle. We did put in another, we did three grant applications for TIB, although the other one is for $2.5 million for Thornton to augment the state funds.
When will you hear?
Usually in November, I believe, is their timeline for notification on that. I'm optimistic that we'll get the overlay funds for Main Street. We were not successful in the last round. We had applied for Malloy for a pavement preservation project, and it didn't score very well. So we did have the TIB engineer up and went for a lap around town. He really liked the Main Street project. So hopefully, cross your fingers, pray for dollars.
Does Porterway count as a safe route to school?
No. It's on the wrong side of the tracks.
Oh, yeah, they know that.
Take the long way.
I grew up on the wrong
literally
side of the tracks, so
I mean,
I recognize my people.
Yeah, for the schools, they can't have pedestrian traffic to schools where you have a railroad crossing. So with the schools on this side of the tracks, we can't have pedestrian traffic and safe route students.
That was interesting. Could you explain that again? That was very
fascinating. The railroad tracks bisect the route, and they can't, they won't do, for anybody that lives on the other side of a set of railroad tracks that's going to the school, if your school's on the west side of the tracks and you live on the east side of the tracks, the district needs to provide transportation. So they don't have walking routes established for kids that are on the opposite side of the tracks from the school they're attending, because they don't want people crossing railroad tracks.
So if that school is only 300 feet away,
it wouldn't matter.
A bus has to.
That is interesting.
Institutionalized.
Interesting. Very good.
Come to New Orleans.
So that, but I don't know if you had any further questions about the street project or grant. You know, Thornton's going to be our big project. We're intending on going out to add on that in the July timeframe. And then should we be successful with receiving the funds for Main Street or for Portal Way, then we'd enter into a design contract for those, and then we would anticipate that we may go to construction with that next year if we do get the grant funding. The overlay projects are quite simple from a design standpoint. So the design usually goes very quickly on those, and we can queue that up for being able to be completed during the summer. The sidewalk project, we haven't really put too many parameters to it, so we'd have to, you know, investigate that. But there are some gaps in that section between the little monument down there and going up. So it does make itself a good project to fill in gaps. TIB likes to do gap filling, and if it provides access to a retail center, we were trying to highlight through the grant application that provided access to the Griffin Town area, which is hopefully the next up and coming.
And just to let you know that the Thornton Fund is a separate fund. It's not in the streets. It's Fund 370, so it's its own construction project. Does anyone have any questions about the layout? I know we have some new people that haven't gone through this yet, or the funds, how each. Yes.
Yep, thank you. Where would I look to see if we have accounted for any reduced tax revenue for the downtown revitalization program? I don't know if we project anything for it, but where would that fall in this if we have a reduced sales tax revenue? Or?
Yeah, I think we just have not counted in that bump, because it's that, that one-time sales tax from new construction. And so when you look at our sales tax, then we didn't particularly add in anything in anticipation of downtown, and so we didn't take anything out. And for property taxes, you know, we're limited to getting 1% more in revenue in year two than we got in year one. So the downtown tax abatement for those 7 years, again, doesn't change our property tax as far as the 1% goes. It's just at the end of those 7 years, we'll get that one-time bump from new construction that we would have gotten the first year. So I guess that's a long way of saying that we've not really increased nor decreased property tax or sales tax on the success or potential lack thereof for the downtown home building we may see.
And Circa will correct me wrong, but the property tax estimate is your 1% plus your estimate of annexation and new construction, and those are all estimates. And the gain or loss from the tax exemption program, we came up with. We're always sharing numbers about the fire department. The city will be delayed about $100 per apartment in property taxes it will not receive if those units are built. So it would probably be a very consequential amount for the city whether those apartments are built or not.
I was just going to add, too, if you remember, the arrangement we have with the fire district is that, in essence, for the first 100 units, they have foregone any compensation. So to your question, I think this time next year would be an interesting time to see if we've had 10, 110, or whatever number, and we might be able to then factor in maybe some sort of mitigation payments for the fire district should we be getting close to that 100-unit threshold that they've agreed to kind of give us gratis. And then it also, as we mentioned before, it'll be up to the council. It could be that 100 units, you guys say, boy, that's success, let's stop it. Or, hey, let's go for 200, and we're only halfway there. So it'll really be up to the council to kind of modulate how this program goes forward in the future. But depending on how you determine that, we'll try to reflect it to the extent we can in the budget.
Thank you.
Yuri, have you seen any interest?
We've seen quite a bit of interest, but since it's only been live for 2 weeks, we haven't seen anything come through as a result of it.
And I would imagine if we're watching the revenues of the property tax in 8 to 10 years, there should be a little when those things go online. A little bump. So not a big one, but a little one.
So on page 23, there's some numbers, line items missing. Is that intentional? You're just trying to
Would you repeat the line number again?
1156, 1159 through 1161 and 1167 through 1172.
Yes. We have hundreds, thousands of, they call them BARS numbers, so they're general ledger numbers. And some of them we don't use anymore. They're in the system, so when I pull a report, it automatically goes in there, and it's just zeros.
Do you ever retire those?
We do retire them. Sometimes there's part of it is I'm auditing the whole system, but sometimes if you retire something, you might need it, and it's just a software issue right
so
now
it's
that
just
we're
to keep it in
yeah
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and right now you can see that we have 3 years of actual and then this year's and next year's. If we were sitting in this room this time next year, a lot of those will fall off because there will literally be nothing even in, because it will start in 2016. So that way the system will allow us to go in and delete them. We just go in and manually delete. So that's the advantage / disadvantage of, in fact, a good example might have been the monies we're talking about for Pioneer Village. I mean, to the extent that we continue to do that, that line item will be useful. But as you can see, sometimes we do things once, and it's in the system for a number of years. So it does tend to not only add more pages, but it brings up questions like yours, like, hey, why are they all zeros? So eventually in time, all the zeros will go away, probably be replaced with others.
Councilmember Kennedy.
On page 20.
Councilmember, can you slide it?
Yeah. Yeah, on page 20. I'm looking at line 1024. We have a transfer in from solid waste tax of $100,000 for 2018. Is there a corresponding line item on?
There should be, yeah, the solid waste fund, yes.
Yeah, 1073 is the transfer out.
I didn't see it straight away, thank you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Are there any more of those? Are we using, I mean, that has a little bit of meat and potatoes to it, that solid waste tax. Are there some other areas in here that we've transferred money to?
Yes, so all of the transfers that you see in solid waste in the 005 area, all those, probably they say TR on the very first either transfer or TR, all of those are transfers, and they should have a fund number where they're transferring to. And then they would be income in those areas.
Yeah, for those that don't remember, the left fund, that $100,000, that stands for law enforcement and firefighters. It's a retirement system that's now closed. There are no new members in left. But many cities and counties have arguably older firefighters and policemen that were in the left system. And the reason why the state of Washington discontinued the left one system is that we're liable for their medical costs forever. No matter what it is. I mean, right now, for example, the fire chief Jensen, he's now in a retirement home, and the fire district is now paying his $1,000 a month. So we now have, I think,
three.
We have three left one employees, and we get medical bills throughout the year. There is a left board that the individuals go to, and the left board reviews to be sure that the expenses that the cities or the counties that last own the employee, make sure they're proper, and it's pretty straightforward. But because we have this enduring liability well into the future, we established this left fund to try to build up a fund balance, because even though all three of these gentlemen are currently rather healthy, there's going to be come a time when that's not going to be true. And one of the things that Circa and I have talked to, she brought to me the other day, is that we might want to consider some sort of long-term disability policy for these individuals. This is, again, to mirror, this is kind of what the fire district did for Chief Jensen. They've actually budgeted the premiums for a long-term care policy. And so that then relieved them of having to come up with arguably a lot of money rather quickly if their health were to deteriorate. So this next year, we're going to be looking into the pros and cons and the cost, if you will, because our three left three employees are of different ages. Age alone, as you know, is not a harbinger of how well or unwell you're going to be, but this is a liability that we've tried to build up a balance for, but it probably would be prudent for us to think in more in terms of long-term care insurance than literally having the cash on hand. So that's something that we'll be taking up next year in a little more detail. But right now, the prior councils have decided to take $100,000 a year to put into the LEFT One fund to not only pay those ongoing medical costs, but to hopefully build up that fund balance over time.
It's easy to imagine why the state discontinued this program. It's quite a liability.
Oh, yeah.
And again, if you're the last person to employ that individual, it's all on you. And it's everything. It's everything. I know one of the gentlemen mm-hmm. that's receiving this. I ran into him happenstance, and I go, man, you look good. You've been losing weight? Well, he had some surgery done. And he said, and he goes, John, thank you. See you, Ferndale. So it covers everything.
Yeah.
We hope he lives a long time healthy or...
Yeah, it's real quick.
To be bright.
526.
Playing the Adams Family theme. That's what it was.
More questions of finance.
Question for Kevin. Are you doing chip sealing or crack sealing?
I am not. I would what? Like to get crack sealing in. Well, because I've been trying to get the number to balance at the end.
We are not at this time. I would like to, okay. And I would like to include a budget line item for that.
Because there is money in solid waste.
I've heard that there was some money in solid waste.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. There should be something in your cracks. Sealing.
I'll bring back a revised.
Is it really? That's yeah. What fog seal.
You can fog seal. Yeah. Doesn't do the same thing as cracks.
It's, well, you can fill it.
We can do all kinds of stuff.
Because okay. There's a lot of places that mm-hmm.
No, there. I do believe that we have a need for it. Getting dirty looks from the we had kind of deferred a little bit on putting the capital projects into the budget as we were kind of getting everything to gel together. Sat down with Circa and got those in there, and then trying to look at what the implications were for the funding and how much money we had available, and then get to the point where we could determine whether there was something enough cash there that was going to be supportive of it or not.
I just thought, because we're not going to be messing up people's traffic anywhere else, because we're not really going to be messing up traffic over at Thornton, so this is your chance to mess up traffic.
Well, if we do go forward with that Main Street overlay, that'll screw up your day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would love to see the fog or the crack ceiling, whatever we're calling it, because there are a lot of, I mean, there's grass growing in our crack in Pacific Islands.
Yeah. We'll do, it'll be fancy, but they come out with a new standard on crack sealing that's a hot air lance crack seal where they go in and use heated compressed air to burn the crack and heat it up before they put the crack seal in. Yeah. Provides better adhesion for the crack sealed material as well as burning and killing any of the weeds that are in there. So it's the new fancy.
Good. We won't have to take out the weeds where you come. So that's
right. Circa, anything else you'd like to cover with us tonight?
Questions from...
And some of you might want to look at it again and send your questions to her. She'll answer them. Customer, Greg Hansen.
So I'm looking at line 1263, sidewalks, expenses. Mm-hmm. And so we've got, I'm just looking around, right? $14,000 in salaries charged to sidewalks. And so... that's what's in the budget. We've got another $14,000 budgeted for this current year. What do those salaries pay for? Whose salaries? What work is being done on sidewalks that gets charged off?
You live with yeah, oh, we're going to go like this because I know that we do have a sidewalk program where they go out and do repairs on sidewalks in areas around the city. I am not familiar with the $14,000 or what it was predicated on.
Okay.
That's, you know, one that we could look at. I mean, looking back at 16 and 17, we're in the $3,000 to $5,000 range, and that's been bumped up. However, it does still come out of the same, you know, original fund as the streets do.
Right.
So whether it's, you know, listed as a line item under sidewalks or street repair, it's still out of the 101 fund. So those dollars, you know, whether they're allocated to that area or not, are still attributable.
And also for the 2019, that's still a gray area. It has a highlighted gray, so
okay.
We're still looking at that.
Yeah, what makes it difficult to forecast is that, I think we've talked about this before, we try to budget for especially the public works crews, where they're going to work in water, sewer, storm, streets, but it's just a guess. But every month when the workers actually fill out their timesheets, we then code their real costs to those different funds. Because things change from year to year, Sirk and I were just having this conversation. Is it best to use 2018 actual allocation of salary percentages? It's as good as anything. That's kind of what we came up with because it's a guess. It's always going to be a guess. And to the extent that history is the future, that's why the numbers for 18 and 19 are the same. Not that we anticipate for sidewalks we're going to do exactly the same amount of effort. It's just that for the allocation of probably 20 people amongst a lot of different line items, we're mirroring 2019 over what we believe 2018 is going to reflect.
Right.
So
that's also why you include 2015 and 2016, so you can look back at multiple
years. Yeah, yeah.
Average
it. In this case in particular, I think it's fair to say that we did something in 2018 that we probably, a level of effort that
right.
we probably did not do in prior years. And realizing the lack of specificity when it comes to this, our thought is that $14,000, it might not be, it probably won't be the right number, but will it be so far off as to skew the total budget? And so that's why we kind of fell back on, let's just mirror 19 after 18. It's as good as anyone's guess, and it does reflect at least recent reality.
Thank you, Greg. Councilmember Rolls.
Save me the work. What other new employees are we going to add, or are you going to add, other than in her department?
Right now, there. I believe it's still in there. There's one new employee in the finance department.
Okay, that's it so far?
That's it citywide. Yes, I'm running through the different departments. We talked about another policeman next year.
Operating.
Not this year. Probably not this year.
Yeah, I'm talking about next. This is next year.
But we'll have to see. There is the possibility. We talked about a deputy clerk and some other positions. Right now, what we're trying to do is, until we can narrow down the budget a little more directly, all that's kind of up in the air. We're not even right now with that one finance position. Right now, we have more expenses than more expenses than revenue, so even that is a little iffy, if you will. So as we move closer, certainly next month is going to be better than this month as far as projecting. We're going to come back. And
so when are we getting the first meeting in November? We're getting what you want?
I know that the Circa hopes to turn her attention back to current expense for our next meeting, which would be the first meeting in November. So, yeah, I think that's a reasonable expectation for us to come back with certainly a more complete picture of what is possible.
Does the RCW say the drop-dead date that we get it is?
I have it in your hand right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a preliminary. The final budget is not the complete budget, isn't it, until the day that you approve it.
It doesn't say that we have to have that by a certain date.
It's like 60 days we need the final draft. 60 days before the.
Yeah, you're supposed to have the preliminary budget.
Preliminary.
approximately 60 days before the, which is November.
It doesn't mean that it won't change by the time that you vote on it.
Yeah. But I think next meeting will be probably an opportune time to talk about any personnel changes for 19.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Councilmember Taylor.
So I'm looking at page 25, line 1253 on wayfinding signs, and I see that we have zero budgeted for 2019, and Sandy Ward and Merge Consulting are working on that wayfinding project, and I was wondering if we needed money in that.
Well, I think the simple question is, it could have been probably yes, but I don't think we know.
We took hotel motel tax and dedicated $12,000 to wayfinding.
But that's
one or two.
That's a different project than what we're talking about here. You're talking about county wayfinding versus.
Because I understood that was part of the countywide wayfinding.
Yes and no.
Mr. Brennan.
It fits the program. But.
So we've been waiting for Merge to come up with their wayfinding, which is kind of within the city, not at the destination. So what we've been working on is through the port grants, putting in the destination signage. Library already had decent. City Hall and Pioneer Park, we already have the grant for. That will be installed by the end of the year, this year. For next year, we got a grant from LTAC for $12,000. That would pay for two signs along the main line of Interstate 5,
right,
which would realign them to, say, next four exits instead of next two exits. And then also we're working with them to put in some of the symbology that Merge has developed to say, okay, now you're coming to Ferndale. Merge has just released their preliminary, here's where they would go, and that's, as we speak, sort of, okay, does everybody get a head nod? I think the next council meeting we're presenting it.
Yeah, and also realize that the $12,000 that Yuri had talked about, that's for changes to the DOT signs on the freeways. So, which is a little different than Merge is coming up with more unique, pretty, if you will, wayfinding for each of the cities in Whatcom County as well as Whatcom County. That's going to be a much bigger project, and it will be once you get off the freeway, how do you find yourself around? So there's really kind of three components. There's the DOT green and white ugly signs that, you know, are standard that we want to change to reflect the reality of the exits for Ferndale. There's that destination signage, that port grant we got last year that we did the City Hall sign for, and the one we hope to do down at Pioneer Park. We're now bidding that. We'll be coming back with the cost for that. That's another separate money, a little bit mostly from the port, but we also match it. And then third would be the yet-to-be-determined Merge product for the pretty, if you will, signage all around the town that would have a consistent theme that would be Ferndale centric. So that last piece is not in the budget yet.
And conceivably, that last piece could also have some of its own phases. And that's what we're wondering for you.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It truly is. And one of the reasons we're geographically huge. I mean, there's all the way from Grandview to Slater. That's a lot of real estate to put signs up on. And so we may be coming back with a part one of phase one, which probably and logically would be more downtown focused. And then we'll perhaps work our way south to Slater and north to Grandview. But we're trying to kind of, it's a big project. It has a lot of parts.
Merge is even offering some suggested phasing for the installation of the signs as well.
Right.
Understanding that this is a multi-year project. So.
Oh, yeah, it's going to, yeah, this multi-year, really should be. But hopefully what we really want to do is build on what we've previously done.
Each one of those Ferndale next four exit signs is $6,000?
I have been playing phone tag with the gentleman from WashDOT. They quoted...
They quoted us approximately $20,000 for two. And so we're asking them exactly what that is. And also, if we're buying it, saying we get to put our own stuff on it then, right? So we're kind of seeing where they go on that.
Yeah, because they've kind of gone in that direction. If you drive south to Skagit County, just past the weigh station, you start coming down the hill, there's that information sign that has like that has the picture of a few different things on it. That was really the first time DOT had ever considered moving out of something that isn't rectangle, green with white letters, you know, very standard. They didn't want it, you know, it's just the facts. So we're hopeful now that we'll be able to convince them to maybe go a little bit further out of their box of what appropriate signage should look like.
But and DOT's been at the table for all of the merge discussion, so they're in the loop, and they've got somebody.
So I think in 2019, we're talking smaller signs than the destination ones we've built so far, but I think that we would be in a position to spend wayfinding money in addition to those I-5 signs if council wanted to put it in there.
Okay. And this $30,256, that was the money to pay for City Hall, library, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the lighted City Hall sign, as well as the unlit, but the letters for City Hall as well as library.
And you'd probably get more bang for your buck with approximately that same number for the wayfinding signs, because they're not going to be lit and all that.
Yeah, we had considered putting a Craigslist ad out that the signs on the freeway were free for the taking. So if someone was to actually take them, DOT would be obligated to replace them. But I know cooler heads prevailed.
You're willing to do that for the right price.
Exactly. We use Britlist instead.
Yeah. Sirka, I wanted to ask you, do you want to cover anything on the debt sheet, or is that just information?
That's just information.
Could you comment briefly on Council Manic limits? There's a certain limit on debt, and we're not even near, I don't think. But
you know what? I don't have the.
Yeah. Council Manic debt is 3/8 of 1% of the tax assessed valuation.
Okay. And we're not near that.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Council-matic debt is literally that. It's debt that the council, by four of you, at least four of you going, yes, can indebt the city. Doesn't go to the voters, which makes it easy, if you will, because, again, just four or more of you need to say yes. The bad part is, if there is one, and there usually is, by not going to the voters, if you decide to take on debt, you have to find the revenue to pay it back. It's not going to go on the tax rolls. So that's why some of the debt in here, some of the councilmatic debt we did for like Griffintown and the Riverwalk and things like that, we decided to take park mitigation funds. We decided to use solid waste funds. So it's both a good and bad. You get to issue debt. There is a limit because the legislature realizes that these crazy council members might issue billions of dollars of debt. So there is a limit on your tax assessed valuation. But you do have to find the revenue source. And then when we go into voted debt, there's actually three different levels of voted debt, again, based on a percentage of your tax assessed valuation and the purpose of the debt. But it actually gets more complicated.
I think the only current voted debt is the library
that
we have. That's the only one that you'll see.
Yeah.
And then the revenue debt, the revenue obligation is exactly what it says. It's the revenue from like water and sewer. Usually those funds, water, sewer, and storm.
Exactly. Funds. Yeah. Revenue debt, water, sewer, storm. Again, you don't have to go to the voters, but you're pledging the revenues of the fund. In a strange way, revenue debt, the bond market considers revenue debt more risky than general obligation debt, councilmanic debt. Because when you do councilmanic debt, you're pledging the full faith and credit of the city. With revenue debt, you're saying that the water fund will pay for water and the sewer fund will pay for sewer. So even though it seems opposite to me, revenue debt carries a slightly higher interest rate than voted debt.
Councilmember Zahra.
Question. So I guess the section is the park mitigation, which is 1424. But can you guys just remind me when the park impact fees are paid? What the timeline of development is.
So for subdivisions, half of it is paid. So if you, if a lot owed $1,200, the developer at the time of subdivision pays $600 of it, and then at the time of a building permit for single family or for multifamily, I guess you can delay until the final inspection.
Okay.
So
it's more than $1,200.
It's something like $1,500. Yeah.
Yeah, so, in essence, we get half when we establish the empty lot, and we get the other half when the house is built.
Right, right.
I think a lot of those are obligated towards things like Griffintown and Centennial. Quite a bit of that.
Approximately yeah. $100,000 a year, I think, is obligated to existing debt service, and it's for the Riverwalk and Griffintown primarily.
Our first 75 homes or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, and we estimate $150,000, so $150,000 coming in, $100,000 going out in debt. So hopefully that'll increase as the debt gets paid off.
Right. And what is the estimated timeline for the big plats going in off of Malloy?
They're doing phase one. Did we just release the land disturbance? I don't know if they're going to be in a position for getting houses permitted or recorded a year for phase one. What do you think? 12 months from now?
I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the construction season they'd be ready to sell lots up there.
And I think that that's typically what they try to aim for, is getting foundations into the ground about this time of year, and then they can work throughout the winter and then have them ready for the spring market. Mm-hmm. So that would be a kind of reasonable, fairly aggressive goal.
Yeah. The
track that development has taken is somewhat different than what we normally permit for developments. We allow them to go forward with a mass grading up at that site, where that's not our typical course. We would normally wait till the land disturbance permit. But they went through and did kind of two reviews for that project, where they came in asking for a clearing and grading to do the mass grading up there and put in the prep for what is going to be the road network up there, and went through a complete storm review and had a complete storm plan for that interim period. And then they've constructed their pond, they've laid the base for the roadways that are up there, and then are now starting on the utility installation. So they have quite a bit of a jump on what they would normally have going into a plat. So I think that the construction is actually going to go fairly quickly up there. They were going to be working on Malloy as their first round of business, and so they're going to be doing the frontage improvements along Malloy, and there's some sewer and water line tie-ins and replacements that they're doing within Malloy out there. So they're going to be getting that stuff done and then moving up into the plat. I think they may take a break over the winter, depending on how the weather goes, but they've got quite a bit of work done up there. Okay.
Well, and you look at not only that one, but there are three other fairly substantial multifamily developments that might come online next year. This year has been, we haven't had much multifamily development for the last couple of years, and it is kind of cyclical, where even though folks are saying, oh my gosh, there's a lot of multifamily, it's really kind of cratered out, you know, for the last couple of years. But we have out on Portal, out on Main, and then another off Shannon that look like they are real and viable. So we might be seeing some building permits for those. And again, because we haven't had multifamily building permits really since, I think, 2016.
And if the contractor's asked, I know it's a citizen that paints stovetops and countertops.
I was going to add, too, that if you remember, you know, the Meadows is now, what, 80%, 90% built out? It wasn't that many years ago that it was kind of in the state that the Highland new one is. And back then, because that was kind of one of our first big subdivisions, some of the council members may remember that for a couple of years we actually had a separate unique line item in the budget for the Meadows, where we said we believe it's going to take, say, 3 or 4 years to build out, so we're anticipating so much this year, so much next year for permit review and park mitigation fees and all the things like that. It depends on the economy. Will it take 3 years, 4 years, 14 years, who knows? I mean, it's one of those things where you got to kind of take it as it comes, and that's why in some past budgets we had that separate line item for the Meadows, because we wanted to highlight it as a separate we'll see what happened number. And it played out pretty much the fact it actually developed a little faster than what we thought. But I could see us coming back this time next year and having, for this development, kind of a multi-year anticipation of development review fees and then plan check fees and inspection fees and all the things like that. So we'll probably think hard about laddering in that development if things continue to hold up well.
I think it's so good to remember that the Meadows died. 07, 08,
yep.
Change of ownership. I mean, it finally got going. Big thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was aware that things could get started and stop real quickly. Ready to wrap it up, you guys, and take a break? Thank you so much. And if you have more questions of finance, our finance director, send them off to her. And we'll take a 10-minute break.
Yeah, again, next time we'll come back with a revised current expense fund. So if there's anything in current expense you'd like to see, you don't, let us know. And then we'll also be fine-tuning all of the other funds as well.